Do you have to be so close? Oh, man, your breath is not good. Hey, easy with the claws, okay? That scratches. Quit stepping on my feet. Look, you're supposed to follow me, okay?
Dances with Wolves will not be presented at this time.
Oh, okay, you want to lead? Lead.
So we may bring you the following special podcast.
Would you stop swiping your tail?
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
Steve, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's loving time.
Okay, let's get to it. Lisa Foster, if that is your name.
Hi. Pat Cashman. Hey.
Hi. Hey.
Before we get to it.
Yeah. Stop the music. Okay. Yeah, what?
I just wanted to say, and I already told you this and I texted you, but it was really nice to see you and give you a big tight hug and see your lovely wife, Patty. We realized we hadn't seen each other in, I think, over 2 years.
God,
actually.
Isn't that hard to believe? Yeah.
So in it was person, nice to see you. In person, yeah, a couple of weeks ago. So
yeah. We met a couple of weeks ago. I came up to Seattle. We weren't there for a very happy occasion. It was a memorial service for our pal Dustin Hornby. Isn't that the way it is? People don't see each other until there are either funerals or weddings or something like that.
But until they have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until we have to see each
other. Poor girl. You had to see me.
Yeah, but it was nice. And you even bought dinner. I'm like, who is this man? You bought dinner.
Well, when I go to dinner with people, Lisa, I read the room. I read the table that I'm at.
Do you now?
I watch people and I see, oh, here comes the bill, and I watch to see if anybody reaches for anything.
And what happened?
Well, nobody did. So I can't stand uncomfortability like that. So I said, here, I'll get it. No, that was always my intention, of course. And we also had our good buddy Nate Jones with us as well.
So nice to have him join
us. I always forget how damn funny Nate is. He's just, but what a good human he is, too.
Yeah.
And he is sitting in his small rural Seattle community. He sits now on the city council.
Oh, yeah. He's a big deal. He's a big deal. He should have bought dinner. Why did you buy dinner?
Yeah, he could have shielded the bill and put it through and cooked the books. I mean, that's like all politicians do.
Exactly.
I hear you. Okay, let's get back to it. Here is, let's start the music again, please. Dwayne Eddy checked out. I had a bunch of Dwayne Eddy records when I was a kid.
Dwayne Eddy was 86.
He's an electric guitar virtuoso.
Oh.
I mean, just about anybody who plays a guitar will tell you Dwayne Eddy influenced them. John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater called him rock's first guitar god.
And I thought you were going to say that guy croaked too. Did he croak?
Oh, God, I hope not. No. Fogerty's one of my heroes.
I know. Creedence Clearwater is one of your favorite bands.
But Dwayne Eddy did songs like Rebel Rouser and 40 Miles of Bad Road. I mean, he goes back into the 1950s.
Oh.
And Bruce Springsteen loved him. In fact, if you listen to Born to Run here, he's doing an homage to Dwayne Eddy's really frenetic fretwork.
Very cool.
And Eddy was self-taught. He never learned to read or write music. It was all by ear. And, this is one of my favorites. You wouldn't remember this because this TV show came along much before you did. But it was called Have Gun, Will Travel.
I know that show.
You do?
Yes, it's an old Western.
That's right. And the main character was named Paladin. Duane Eddy did this song, The Ballad of Paladin, that was on the show. And I liked Have Gun Will Travel for another reason, is that they shot several episodes right here in my hometown of Bend, Oregon.
Yeah.
And it was a Western, and Paladin
you like
was...
You like those old Western, black and white Westerns.
I must admit I do. And
yeah, I know.
I don't know what that says about me.
I don't know.
Can't be anything good. But I remember my dad and I were driving downtown for some reason. It was on a weekend. And there was this great hotel in Bend that some idiot decided to tear down. It would have been Bend's major drawing card if they had left it alone. It was called the Pilot Butte Inn, and is made entirely of logs. It was beautiful, like four stories high. And we drove by the front of the Pilot Butte Inn one day, and there was Richard Boone, who was the star of the Have Gun Will Travel. He played the part of Paladin. There he was, standing in front, jangling coins in his pants. And I can remember, like, a day or two later, at school, I stood around jangling coins in my pants at recess.
I love that.
Just because I thought that looked so cool.
Do guys even have coins? Do you have coins anymore in your pants?
No. No, we have a jar we throw all of our coins into here at the house, but no,
men
nobody
just don't have carries. Nobody puts coins in their pants anymore.
This was always my question. If you were, let's say, Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or Elon Musk, you're loaded and you're walking down the street and you see a quarter lying on the sidewalk. Do they pick it up?
Of course. How do you think they got so rich?
You think they would?
Yes.
I hope they would. I hope they would.
I pick up pennies just because I have a weird thing about pennies on the ground.
Yeah.
I just can't leave them by themselves. Like, they've gotten lost. Somebody discarded them. Somebody broke up with them. And I adopt them. I pick up pennies. I have tons of pennies.
Well, good for you. I think pennies
are... I don't need the penny. I just need to. I just want to give it a home.
Give it love. Yeah. Pennies are. People don't care about pennies. They'll say,
care about pennies.
They have those little bowls at convenience stores where you can drop your pennies. And nobody cares. Oh, the poor penny. I feel bad.
I wonder if they'd mind if I just took the whole bowl of pennies and said, look, Pat said you guys don't really care about pennies. Can I have these?
Please. I collect them.
Please. Like pennies.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
Yeah, wasn't there a movement to like get rid of the kill the penny? Kill the penny.
It's just such a small, it's the smallest denomination we have.
Yeah.
But sometimes, and then a lot of times you'll buy something for, I don't know, $9.85, and they'll just give you, they'll say, forget it. They won't even give you the change. And most people don't want it.
Yeah.
Sad passing for sure. A penny used to buy stuff when I was a kid.
No kidding. Remember penny candy?
Yeah. Bubble gum? Yeah.
Yes.
You can't get anything for a penny.
No,
nothing.
No,
it's crazy.
No. You can get things for a dollar. You can go to the dollar store, but there you can't get penny stuff for a penny.
No, you can't get it at the dollar store either. It's $1.25 now.
Oh, wait,
it is? Dollar store. Yeah.
Well, why don't they change the name?
I don't know. Probably because I think I read they're going to jack it up again to $1.50.
Okay, that's BS right there. That's bait and switch right there. If you call yourself the dollar store, I better be able to march in and get us something for a dollar.
Well, you got to admit, a $1.25 store doesn't trip off the tongue as nicely.
I know.
I had a friend when I was in grade school. His dad owned a store in Bend called the 88 Cent Store.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and everything in there was 88 cents.
I love that.
You heard of jalopies, you heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along.
And so... I can remember anybody my age suckered for this. I went in there because I was really getting into things like the Beatles, and I saw an album in there for 88 cents, and it said, The Beatles. Jesus, I got to get that. I eagerly bought it, and I ran home with it.
Oh, no.
Only then did I notice that it said, The Beatles, as performed by Larry Jenkins and the Lugnuts.
Well, I find myself in times of trouble. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
You know, that used, I know you still have a list of dead people, but that very thing you just talked about used to just torque the hell out of my ass.
Oh, I know.
Because I think we brought this up on the air one
time. Yeah, you brought a guy who was the head of KTEL Records.
You from KTEL Records. 22 explosive hits, 22 original stars, gallery.
Oh, it's so nice to be.
You have a good memory. I was so incensed. I've even forgotten the details because I would buy what I thought was a mix album of my favorite artist, but in little teeny tiny print.
Exactly.
It would say, yeah, no, it's by Larry Jenkins and the Lugnuts. God, that pissed me off.
Oh, I know. How many people were taken? And then what do? Yeah. Go marching back to the store and say, I want my 88 cents back.
Yeah, but it's not the 88 cents. It's the principle of the
thing. Well, of course. There are no principles anymore, as you know.
I know. All right.
Okay, and also the last surviving founder of the Moody Blues passed away, Mike Pinder.
Oh. Wait, say his name again.
Mike Pinder.
Oh.
P-I-N-D-E-R. Pinder.
Okay. All right.
Well, you made such a point of stopping me.
Well, because I talked over you, and I didn't want people to lose the name. So
I can't stand it when people talk over other people.
Would you stop?
And I will not do it anymore, I promise.
You talk over me all the time.
You talk over me all the time.
I only talk over you when you start talking over me, and I'm trying to wrest control back.
Fair enough. Mike Pinder played the electromechanical mellotron.
What?
We've already said.
Yeah, it's some kind of combination of an organ keyboard and electronics, like a Moog. And he could do all kinds of things with it. Their first song, the Moody Blues, was this one called Go Now. But then they had a change in direction. A couple of the members left, but Mike stayed, and they kind of went from playing rhythm and blues rock music to more of a psychedelic orchestral sound, which was really novel for a rock and roll band.
Mm-hmm.
And you could really hear it on the 1967 album, Days of Future Past. This was such an interesting song, Nights in White Satin.
Yes.
Nights in White Satin. Never reaching the end.
And here is Mike. He had a very deep voice. This is him reciting the coda in that song.
Breathe deep the gathering gloom. Watch lights fade from every room. Bedsitter people look back and lament. Another day's useless energy spent.
Pretty cool guy. Very innovative. But he's gone. And then
hold on. I have a question.
Stop the music, please. Stop.
I keep interrupting your flow. But I have to do it this way because I'll forget. Were you ever in a band
No.
Oh, okay. Continue then.
Just for fun bands, I would come in and
That's
sing.
What I meant.
Yeah.
Were you ever in a band? Like, did you get your high school buddy? Did you guys say, we're going to be in a band, man?
And they were in a high school band. So these guys would play covers of other bands, successful bands.
Yeah.
And they played this song by them, Gloria. Remember Gloria?
Yeah.
The lead singer, Van Morrison.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you about now, baby.
And I was going to be the lead singer, but I couldn't spell very well in those days. And I couldn't, G-L-O, what was the next letter? I couldn't get it. So.
And her name is G. L. Whoa. R. I. G-L-O-I.
But here's my point. The name of the band was, they decided on the name The Master Beats. The Master Beats, which I think is a genius name, by the way. But they
would
not.
I don't know if it's genius.
Well, they wouldn't let them, the principal and other school officials wouldn't let them play at school assemblies because they didn't want to get up. And now would you welcome, please, The Master Beats. The principal couldn't imagine himself saying that. So he wanted them to change their name and all that. But they finally did play in the assembly. Anyway, I love the name.
She comes around here just about midnight.
The Master Beats. But no, I wasn't in a, I was never in a
serious
band.
I didn't know you were a singer. I honestly do not think, but I've known you for about 112 years, and I really don't think I've ever heard you croon.
But usually when I do songs, I do talky songs like Ringo or... Songs where you're not really singing, you're just reciting.
Yeah, you're kind of rapping.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can't sing. I'm no good.
Yeah.
I suck.
I do too. I'm
this podcast right now.
Oh, you don't suck. I'm surprised because you have really good pipes. You've got it. You know, your voice is just.
I know. Sorry.
But I'm the same way. What's really weird about me, among other things, is that if I'm doing a character voice, I can sing in the character voice, but I can't sing as Lisa Foster. I am terrible. But
you know, I do a handful of impressions.
Exactly.
But
That's what I'm
get
saying.
My impressions from impressionists, not from the actual person.
Right.
And which is cheating, but a lot of good impressions, they get the essence of the person. They have a good ear for the idiosyncrasies of a voice. And so that's the way I can borrow somebody else's idea. And that's not fair. It's cheating. And
it is cheating.
I vow right now to never do it again.
Okay. Stop.
The other thing was singing, Lisa, you have to have an echo.
What? What do you,
you have to have an echo. Since my baby left me, I've found a new place to dwell.
See, it wouldn't sound like anything without the echo.
It sounds really good, actually.
It covers up the flaws of a singing performance.
Okay, I'm sorry I derailed
you one
more time. Let's
start the music again. You mentioned Creedence Clearwater Revival. This might be in my top five bands, too. The Allman Brothers Band.
Oh, yeah.
They lost one of their guitarists, Dickie Betts. Who was not named Allman, of course. But Dickie wrote and sang their biggest hit. And this was it, Ramblin' Man. And he also wrote this one, which I just love. It's an instrumental, Jessica. Dickie Betts, big talent, 80 years old. And a couple other quickies here, Elise. A woman named Nancy Schuster died at the age of 90. She won the first American crosswords puzzle tournament in 1978. And you know how much money she got for winning that?
When was it?
1978.
Oh, and it was a national crossword puzzle contest.
Yeah, the very first one ever, the first American crosswords puzzle tournament.
I don't know.
And she
I'm going to say $5.
Nope, you're close. $125. That was her winnings.
Okay.
From that. But she continued doing crosswords, later edited and wrote them, worked at the New York Times. Pretty remarkable. And the only reason I mention her is because I wanted to put this hilarious ending to that. And it was that Nancy Schuster was buried 6 down and 3 across. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. I will not be here all week. I just found out.
I'm glad, though, that it occurs to me that you almost always only talk about men croaking. You very rarely add a woman into the mix.
Do I?
What's going on?
Well, I think women live longer. No, that's a lame excuse. Well, it just happens.
Yeah, I'm glad you recognize it.
That there weren't. There weren't. Let's face it. I tend to talk about people in the music world, or not crossword puzzles usually, but the music world, because they're sound, and this is a podcast, and so I can represent them sound wise.
Right.
And not to the credit of the music world. There are much fewer women music practitioners than men, at least historically. That's changing all the time.
That's very true. I will give you that. That's very true. But I will still, once again, make the argument that you can create audio from, perhaps a film star or a television star, or it doesn't have to be musical. There's all sorts of audio clips you can be throwing out, like I just said.
Well, okay, let me do a make good here for one that I missed years ago.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay, see?
Here we go. And I'm sorry to report the death of silent film star Mary Pickford. That's all
here
I got.
Here's an excerpt of one of her best movies.
And here it is. Oh, she was just so good in that.
Yeah, she was really good.
Okay, that's lame. Okay.
All right,
One final one, Elise. Okay. A guy named Frank Wakefield, 89 years old. He was a mandolinist. He played the mandolin.
That's sexy.
Well, I know it doesn't sound sexy, but he was
brilliant. Not sexy.
He was innovative. He started composing sonatas later in his career, and he arranged classical pieces, and he even performed with Leonard Bernstein. So that's taking a basic instrument and making it more versatile, getting into jazz and classical music and all kinds of things besides bluegrass.
Was that the only thing he played?
Yeah, just the mandolin.
See, if I came to you, Pat, and I said, hey, Pat.
Yeah.
I want to introduce you to my boyfriend, Larry. And you're like, well, what does Larry do? And I'm like, well, he's a mandolinist. What would you say?
I would say, I don't care what his political party is.
No. You'd say, gee, that sounds boring.
Well, I guess, but here's the thing, Lise. You get guys like Stevie Wonder, Van Morrison.
Yeah.
Who I mentioned. They can play multiple instruments.
That's what I'm saying.
But they would all concede that they're good at all of them, but they're not great. And I think... If to be great at something, you got to focus on one thing to be really great, to be the best. And I'm sure Mr. Wakefield played the guitar and related instruments, but he mostly focused on the mandolin because that's how he got so good at it, because he didn't goof around with anything else. Do you believe that?
All right. Yeah, I'm good.
Einstein played an oboe, but, he decided to focus on other things. I just made that up. I don't know if you okay, so that's done.
All right. Now
gosh,
what?
I think
now
we're
what
done.
Do we do?
I think that's the end of the podcast. It took a long time to get through. Can I go through just a couple of my pet peeves?
Please.
I realize I've become a kind of a crank, and I hate to think of that, but it's probably true.
You've been saying that.
It's just things
so
that
you
annoy
know.
Me. I don't think you're.
But hold on,
you're
hold
a crank
on.
You, just because things annoy you, right?
I don't think so either. But you've been saying that for the last 10 years or so, that you're becoming one. So maybe you should just lean into it and just go. You is one.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm a crank.
Okay, go for it. I'm What's making you cranky?
I have a pet peeve, and that is this: stores that do not post their prices.
Oh, God, I hate that.
Oh,
that just makes me so mad. So yesterday, I'm going to hijack your story.
Okay.
So yesterday, I'm at the nursery buying plants. And I'm buying plants. I'm like, ooh, that's a pretty plant. And I'm looking all over for the tag. And I'm like, I don't want to throw this in my cart and have to haul it all the way up to the cash register and go, how much is it? It just made me mad. So I just left it. And I went, fine, if you don't want me to buy your plants, just don't put prices on them. I'm not going to buy them. So that made me so mad yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go.
What did it make your butt want to do?
Suck a lemon.
a lemon. I knew that. That's when I know you're really mad when you say, that makes my butt want to suck a lemon. Where did that expression come from? Is that original with you?
No, I stole it from a very, very funny gal I used to work with back in when I worked at a bank. So this is before I even met you. And she was just hilarious. And she and I would go out, and this was back in the mid-80s, we'd go out to the parking lot and smoke cigarettes and bitch about people.
Yeah.
And she would always say, and that guy just did this and whatever. And you know what? You want to know what really makes my ass want to suck a lemon? And I never, I just thought it was the funniest term ever.
It
and
is funny.
I imagine it's just because her butt, her ass gets so tight from anger that that is what can squeeze. It's not that her butt could squeeze a lemon, it's that her butt could suck a lemon. And I don't know.
Okay, you've over-explained. Yeah. All right.
I'm sorry. Just thought I would. Yeah. So that's where I got it from.
That's good.
Like it. So there you go.
Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flowery sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat.
Okay. And then this one.
Wait, hold on. Do you have a story about going to the store and having no price on something?
It's very much
like yours.
I just go there and then. Okay. And I think, well, God, I might want to buy this, but how much is it? And invariably, I think, oh, okay, I don't care. I want it anyway. And then to get up there, and it's sticker shock. And then
I think,
come on. Because right now, with inflation and COVID, groceries and everything are just gone up and up in price, and they never come down.
I
want to know how much something is. And when the price is not posted, that tells me you don't want to know how much this is.
Yeah.
Believe me, you won't be happy. And so
it's like restaurants that you go to that don't have prices in the menu.
You don't belong
in that restaurant. Yeah.
At least my beloved McDonald's posts their prices.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. Some guy said to me, he acted like a real jackass. I was golfing with him. And and he said, I'm sorry. It's just my Irish temper coming out. I'm really sorry. And I'm thinking, that's not an excuse for being a jerk. You can't just say, oh, I'm Irish. Yeah, you're like fourth generation. Your great-grandfather came from Ireland. That doesn't give you an excuse to be an asshole.
Oh, Pat.
Just because you've got an Irish temper. It's like, oh, I have a German tendency to seek world domination. I'm sorry. That's just my heritage.
Yeah, and it's a little, why would he stereotype his own? That's like, really? Yeah. It's like, sorry, I'm drunk. It's my Irish background.
Yeah.
That's stereotyping.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Right? So those are two of my pet peeves. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Those aren't very. I thought they were going to be like.
No, they're little things. They're little.
Those are pretty mild.
Yeah, I shouldn't even bring it up. Here's a positive. Here's a positive opinion.
What?
And this is it. And I just came to this realization the other day because I think most people look down their noses.
Mm-hmm.
In polite society, they're considered lowbrow and crass and stupid.
What?
But I will say this till my final breath.
What?
The Three Stooges were great. Any comment?
I have no. You already know I have no comment.
Well,
I think they are the stupid. I think they are.
Oh, no.
Can I?
Yes. Go
yes,
ahead.
I do. I think they're stupid.
Oh, no.
I think they're dumb.
Go ahead. Oh, no.
And. I think they're lazy. It's just
what lazy.
Yeah, you don't have to do a whole. I mean, oh, I'll poke you in the eyes. That's lazy.
That's hard.
And
that's hard.
And
I mean,
and,
you, to look like you're poking somebody in the eye, it takes artistic flair.
And
it takes athleticism. The Stooges, the eye poking thing, is like the mandolin guy. That's what they focused on. They got great at it because they focused on it. They weren't standing around reading Shakespeare or trying to figure out a cure for cancer. They said, nope, you guys, listen, you guys, we're going to learn to finger poke, okay? And they focused on it, and that's how they became great.
Okay, fine. But the biggest thing is they're ugly. That's the biggest thing.
Oh, no. Come on.
Wait a minute. Now, you can't make a case that these were handsome, fine-looking men, can you?
No, and I'm not saying that you're wrong, but would they have been as funny if it was Clark Gable and George Clooney or what? They just wouldn't be funny. They're funny because they look funny to start with. They got that going for them.
There are plenty of funny, handsome men out there. Plenty.
Name one. Well, I can name one. Cary Grant. But that's it.
No,
the
but
Three
I mean.
The Stooges were great.
They were just dumb. And they had dumb hair. And they looked dumb.
But that's the point. But they weren't playing to the Ashland Shakespearean Festival. They were the Three Stooges. The name alone tells you, yeah, we're aware that we're dumb. We're aware that the stuff we're doing is stupid. That's the point.
Were they?
We didn't call ourselves the Three Intellectuals.
What'd he say?
Quiet.
Were they smart in real life? I mean, what was their persona? What were their characters like in real life?
Well,
were they
it's
the same?
You would say that.
I think they were the same.
Mo Howard. A lot of people don't know this. Mo Howard was one of the principal architects of the NASA space program.
Oh, you are such a liar. You're such a liar. I kind of sensed it the minute you got all up in yourself there with your tone.
I stand by what I said. The Three Stooges were great. I don't need to go into any more detail than that.
Now, I don't mind movies that are a little like I used to love the Ma and Pa. Yeah, I love the Ma and Pa Kettle movies. I thought those were pretty hilarious. I think the first one they put out was The Chicken and the Egg. I think that was the first one they put out, but I thought those were pretty hilarious.
A woman named Betty McDonald wrote that book, The Egg and I.
The movie was based
it was based on that.
Yeah.
And I think Fred McMurray was in that movie.
Starring Claudette Colbert, never so winsome. And Fred McMurray, never so delightful as the city couple tackling life in the raw in the wild Northwest.
Oh, you!
And wonderful Marjorie Main and Percy Kilbride as Ma and Pa Kettle in the salty, down-to-earth roles they created that made them the favorite of 50 million eager fans in The Egg and I.
But she lived in... up near Port Townsend, I believe.
Uh-oh, is that your agent calling you?
Oh, boy, I hope this is not bad news. The name of this person calling suggests that it's bad news. I will take that call later.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong. But where was it? Oh, yeah. So she lived in near Port Townsend, and that's where the story takes place. So this is based, this is her experience. Marrying a guy and then moving to essentially a farm.
Right.
She's a big city girl and now she's living rural.
Yeah.
And while Ma and Pa Kettle were featured in that movie, they were inventions, of course.
All right. Not to get too far into this topic because I actually really don't care a whole lot, but how many movies did the Three Stooges do? And if I were, and I'm not saying I am. But if I were to just acquiesce and say, all right, Pat, I'll take a whole one in one sitting, what movie would you recommend? Because it feels to me like they're all the same. They're just the same. They're just poking each other in the eyes. They're being selfish. They're being stupid. And they're being ugly. So it's probably not one single movie that you would say, oh, this one stands out above the rest of them.
Well... the Three Stooges, as a group, made very few actual movie-length movies.
Oh.
You know, I can think of Have Rocket Will Travel, and I think they did one called Snow White and the Three Stooges.
Introducing the lovely Olympic champion, Queen of Ice, Carol Heiss, as Snow White. Also starring the world's clown princes of comedy, the Three Stooges, as her hilarious defender.
But those weren't good. I'll concede those were lousy. The funny Stooges were in what they called shorts. They were only like 8 to 10 minutes long.
Oh, I can take that.
Yeah, that's the Stooges you know. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And they were little, there were all these little situations. They were always out of their element. They got jobs as policemen, or they got jobs as bakers, or they got jobs as golf instructors, whatever it was. And they always screwed it up and disaster happened. And they killed it. They were always funny.
No! Mo! Larry, help! There was an ugly looking thing staring right at me. It was horrible. What do you know? It was you. You imbecile, we're getting no place fast.
All right.
I loved it. I remember women, moms and dads, but mostly moms, clutching their pearls back in the day when they thought, oh, my son, he's watching the Stooges all the time. He's going to hit his brother over the head with a lead pipe, or he's going to poke him in the eye.
See? Yeah.
Well, it just didn't happen.
How do you know?
Well, my brother, he lost his eyes in another kind of accident. So you can't blame that on me. But no,
wait,
seriously.
Wait a minute. What? Wait, what?
No, I'm kidding. I know. But okay. They worried that kids watched too much Superman and the kids were going to jump off their house.
Right.
Thinking they could fly.
Right.
But I mean, compared to what's going on today, the Stooges are so benign. And maybe that's why I love them, because it's just harmless silliness. It's the silliness of them that I love. And they still make me laugh. I'm sorry. They do. I'm a stupid guy. What can I tell you?
Don't apologize for that. If that's what brings you joy to your life, then
well, I wouldn't say joy.
Well, you said it makes you laugh. And
I'd say ecstasy, but not joy.
That's all I care about. If it makes you happy, that's all I care about.
Let's just say I'm an appreciator of the Stooges.
When me and my friends go out in the town, we can't sit still, we can't sit down. We don't like to fight and we don't like to scuffle, but we dance all night doing the curly shuffle. Hey Mo, hey Mo,
hey Mo, hey Mo.
Well, yuck, 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 yuck,
yuck, yuck, yuck, yuck.
Ronnie G, Ronnie G.
I need to get personal here. Now, we talked about how you and I finally met up a couple of weeks ago, because I went up to Seattle with my wife to Dustin Hornby's memorial service.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, we thought, well, that's a long drive from Bend, Oregon to Seattle. It's a good 7-8 hour drive if you stop occasionally to get some food or use a restroom.
Why didn't you fly? Why didn't you fly?
Like I said, I watched Superman and I thought I could, but I can't.
when you fly, you have
to rent a car, and then
it's all other.
And I
love driving, and it makes sense. I hate driving. If I could just blink myself somewhere, I would be happy. I hate driving. I don't even like driving to the liquor store, which is odd, but I just hate it. I hate driving. So I fly. Hmm. I'm flying. So you got in a car for 8 hours with your wife.
Well, you fly for business. That's different. I fly when I come to, you know, give a speech or an auction or something like that. But I like driving. I like long drives. I dig it. I listen to podcasts or books on tape or whatever. I mean, I just really like it. So it's fun. So anyway, we decided this time, let's not go all the way to Seattle. Let's go part way and we'll stay at an Airbnb. So my wife did some research and she said, Pat, near the town of Yakima, out in near Toppenish, I found a Airbnb that is actually a motorhome, fully equipped motorhome, and it is positioned so that it looks over this vast, vast vineyard. It looks beautiful from the pictures, the photos. And it's gorgeous. Got a hot tub. It's all this, and then a great view of the greater Yakima Valley. It's fantastic.
Okay.
So I said, that sounds good. Let's do that. So we head out and we get there and we go up in the vineyard. We're late in the day, so it's 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The vineyard, it's a winery, and they're getting ready to close. They have a, you know, hospitality room and all that sort of stuff, and an outdoor seating area. And Lisa, the view was phenomenal. You could see forever.
Oh,
and
nice.
Just right outside our little motorhome there. And it was fully equipped. Part of the reason we rented there is because we want to see, would we like to live? Could we live in a motorhome or a fifth wheeler for a few months? Could we
travel our great country? Yeah. That's
well, not good... even to travel. Just would we become claustrophobic living in here? What if we brought our two dogs along? I mean, that might be tough.
Yeah.
Well, we were without the dogs on this trip. So we get into this motorhome, and I told my wife, I said, hang on, I'm going to go and see if I can find a store that sells liquor.
Yes.
And so, off I go. And when I come back, these guys that were working in the vineyard have decided that this would be the day where they pull a bunch of weeds and then burn them with blow torches. Mm-hmm. And all the smoke came barreling into the inside of our motorhome. She had, you know, she had to chase them off and say, no, not now, don't do it now. And so that wasn't good. I get back and she's still hacking and coughing from a smoke-filled motorhome. And I said, oh, that's okay. We're still going to have a good time here and this will all be fine. Now everybody has left. The winery is closed. All the employees have left. We're just by ourselves on this huge acreage with the motorhome. And it's dropping near nighttime now. And it's really nice and kind of romantic. And I just put my pajama bottoms on. And I have a t-shirt.
Okay.
And Patty's wearing a caftan or, you know, a muumuu or whatever you call it. But she is sans underwear, let's say. I mean, that's all she got on.
Okay.
We're just by
ourselves. Do we need to know any of this? Is this pertinent to the story?
Yeah, it will be.
Oh, okay. All right. So basically, you guys are just kind of naked under your little things. Okay.
Almost, yeah. So then I'm outside looking, and I'm taking pictures of the sunset, and then I put my phone back inside the motorhome And I'm standing out there looking around, and she comes out.
Uh-oh.
And she hugs me, and we both gaze at the sunset, and it's just beautiful. And the door of the motorhome swings shut behind us.
Yeah.
Then, oh, okay. And I go over, and it's locked. It is locked. We are locked out.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And it starts to dawn on us. Wait a minute. We only have the clothes that we're wearing. Both of our phones are in there.
And we have no underwear.
My car keys are in there. Everything is in there. And we're out here effectively in the nude. Not really, but might as well be. And it's kind of cold.
So I said,
I'll go find some help. We'll get this open. So I walk around this huge acreage of this winery. And there's nobody there. It's empty. Everybody's gone home. It's dark. You can hear crickets and frogs. And we start to, wait a minute. I go to my car. It's open. The car is open.
Yay.
But we don't have any keys.
Yeah.
And so I can't start the car to produce any heat.
But we
pretty much have resigned ourselves. I guess we're going to have to sleep in our car tonight. We would call the Airbnb people, but guess what? We don't have any phones because they're inside the stinking motorhome. So then I said, well, walk Jesus. Around. Maybe somebody's here. So I walk around.
Why don't you lay on the horn?
We raise a young... No. I mean, this place is way up in the hills. If I was going to walk to another house, it'd be about a half a mile or more in the dark.
Yeah, did you have
the
feet
flashlight on my phone? Oh, wait, I don't have my phone.
Did you have your feet? I mean, did you have your shoes on your feet or were you barefoot?
I had my socks on.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
You got to know, Lisa, I got the tenderest feet. I can't walk on anything.
I know.
Much less gravel.
I know.
This whole place was gravel.
You cry when you have to walk on a carpet. That's, yeah.
I know. Long story. And then, so basically, then I'm giving up. I'm thinking, okay, we're going to have to sleep in the car. It's been an hour and a half now. We're
can I guess something here? Did the romantic mood just sort of crash and burn at that point?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That wasn't even a consideration anymore. And so my wife goes around the back section. Yeah. And so she says, wait a minute, I think I might have left, I didn't lock a window around the back side. And so she goes back there, and sure enough, there's a window open, but there's a screen. And so she said, oh, let's just tear that screen out of there. You got to get in there, isn't it? So I find a chair from the deck, and I get up on the chair, and not very artfully, I get in through the window, and my leg gets hooked up on the window. So I'm hanging into the room. I can't get my... Anyway, I finally get into the room, and I unlock the door, and it's all as well. So we think, oh, thank God. Oh, we ducked that bullet.
Well,
let's get back to the romantic part. So we go outside, back on the deck, making sure that we got the key with us. And we get into the hot tub that they have there. It's good and hot. Oh, yeah. It's dark, but it looks good. So we get in there and we have a really nice, cuddly time. And it's very fun. And we get back out, and then the next morning, I go back out. We're getting ready to leave, and I look back inside the hot tub, and it's really murky.
Ew.
Disturbingly murky. I think, that doesn't look good. And I never smelled any chlorine. Yeah. So then we go up to Seattle, and we meet you, and we are at the memorial service for Dustin.
Hold on a second. If I'd known you had just come out of a murky hot tub, I would have not hugged you.
Well, I know. Because indeed, on our way home, Patty said, you know, I kind of hurt down here, down in this region.
What?
Well, long story short, she got an UTI from this thing. She's on antibiotics now.
Christ.
So far, I haven't had any symptoms. But we used to have a hot tub, and this would happen once in a while. And you have to have chemicals in the damn thing.
Right.
And they apparently didn't put anything in it. And we're swimming around in, might as well been in a septic tank.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You people. You know what, Pat?
What?
Every single time I talk to you, something has gone awry when you have stepped out of your house. Just when you have just stepped out of your house. So I just feel like I don't know how many more lessons you need or signs from God or whatever it is, but it just feels to me like maybe you should just stay the hell home.
Lisa, you have exactly stated what my wife and I have concluded. We can't go anywhere.
You can't go anywhere.
We've had so many disasters. I told you about our trip to Arizona. That was a kerfuffle. And then now this. So you're right. We're not going anywhere anymore, anytime. We're going to be, if you want to come see us, that's great.
Great.
But
I will come see you.
We're not going to get in the car and go anywhere ever again.
And I would just say it's probably not a bad idea to get yourself a little life insurance while you're thinking about it too, because
good idea.
Yeah. So, all right.
All right. God. I think we've gotten to the end of the street, and let's get on with it, shall we?
Do you have a joke? Last time you yelled at me for making you drop your stupid joke book and losing the joke.
Come on. Let's don't go over that again. You know it was your fault. Let's leave it at that.
Do you have a joke?
Yes, I do. Oh. And I do not have a joke book. Because a good friend of mine, Arlo, who listens, I went to high school with him, and he punishes himself by listening to this drivel.
Yeah.
But he also offered a joke. Now, if you'll remember, one of my previous jokes involved a 14-year-old girl.
Uh-huh. I remember that one.
And I've heard some stuff back about that. It was very tawdry, and I agree it was. This one does not involve a 14-year-old girl, but it is also arguably tawdry.
Oh, good.
But I maintain that it is not technically a dirty joke.
Okay.
It is your mind that will make it a dirty joke. All right.
Yay. I'm so grateful for my mind.
Thank you, Arlo. Here we go. An old man, He's like in his 80s. He's really old.
Yeah.
90s. He's in his 90s. Let's make
okay.
Him, 80s too
really,
close to
really
me.
Really, really old.
90s.
Okay.
90s.
Okay.
The guy goes to his doctor for his annual checkup.
Yeah.
And the doctor, after examining him, says that he would like to check his sperm count. In fact, the way the doctor said it was, "I'd like to check your sperm count." So the doctor gives the guy a jar. Now,
a jar?
Have you ever put up pickles or tomatoes or anything? You know those mason jars?
Yeah, a jar?
Yeah, a jar.
You didn't just give him a little cup?
No, it's a clear jar like you might put pickles in.
That's an awfully
it's got
big
the
jar.
Lid and everything. So he hands him the jar.
Okay.
And he tells him to take it home and tells him to bring it back tomorrow. Bring the jar back tomorrow, but I want to see a sample of your sperm in there so I can check your sperm count.
Okay, can you stop saying that? Okay, we get it. You said sperm like 50 times, so we know what it is.
Oh, look.
I'm getting uncomfortable.
I have my TV on right now, and there's a nature special, and there's a sperm whale on there. Look at it.
Can you stop saying sperm?
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Gross. Okay.
Well, you were
so
kind of
he needs a sample.
You could
just say, so he needs a sample. We already know what it is. He gave him a big old pickle jar. Okay let's
I won't
continue.
Say sperm again, except for that time right there. Okay. So the next day, the old man brings the jar back.
Uh-huh.
But guess what, Lisa?
What?
It's empty. It's empty. It's just as clean as when the doctor gave it to him.
What?
Yeah. The doctor says, the doctor wanted to know what happened, and so the doctor said, "What happened?" And the old guy says, "I tried my right hand, and that didn't work. So I tried my left hand, and that didn't work either.
Oh, my God.
I asked my wife for help, and she came in, and she tried both hands with no luck."
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Okay.
Then she tried her mouth.
Oh, my God.
First with her teeth in, and then with them out, and no luck there either.
Okay.
So then we asked our neighbor, Ethel, to come over to help. Ethel tried both hands and even tried between her knees, and that didn't work.
Jesus Christ.
The doctor was astounded. You asked your neighbor for help? Yep. It was me, my wife, our neighbor Ethel, all of us tried, and none of us could get the goddamn lid off that jar.
For listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.